24 hours after each call. Today's topic is how to create an effective and prosperous client attraction plan. So, Denise and Anne-Marie, did you get the document I sent?
Yes. I did.
Okay, good. All right. I mean, I know that's pretty detailed, so, you know, we'll go through what we'll go through. But if it's just us, you know, we'll have time to go through it.
Uh-huh.
Before we do that, Denise, are you in a good place with your hub?
I am. Did you like it?
Yeah. Would you like to say it, please?
Yes. I help people with disabilities and their loved ones live creatively to overcome challenges and become empowered.
Wow. That's good. What do you think, Anne-Marie? Do you like it?
Yeah, I love it. I do.
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah,
and Denise,
I finally figured out where to put, you know, I was weary to put people with disabilities in there only because I kind of want to help everybody, but then as we're going through the classes and everything, I'm like, if this is my niche, I have to say it in my hub. So it's them and their loved ones.
Good. You know, and just because it's what you are today, you know, it's not written in stone forever, right? So you
right.
go with this. That's what calls to you now. And, you know, you have the right and the ability to change it as you know, you grow and your practice grows.
Right.
Right? So, but it's important to have a place to start.
Right.
You know,
right?
This is where you're starting. This is what calls to you, you know, and, you know, this is where you are today. So that means that you're in the perfect place right now.
Thank you. Yes, I do. I feel it. And on Thursday, I was just telling Anne-Marie that Thursday was my last day at my other job. So now I really need to focus on this and grow it.
Good. All right. So today's conversation is perfect for you. Perfect timing, right?
Yeah, perfect timing.
Perfect timing. Love it. All right. Anne-Marie, are you good with your hub?
I am. I have a question for you, though. I have two different versions of mine. They differ in what I'll just call politically correctness. I love my slightly irreverent version because
okay.
I think it speaks to who I am and the kind of work that I do. When I shared it with a couple of people who I'm not 100% convinced were the target, there was some encouragement to soften it a little bit. I'd
okay.
love to read both.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the first one, this is the, well, you'll get it. Can I can be irreverent on the call, right? Okay.
Absolutely.
I help professional women who don't know what the fuck they want to be when they grow up to reinvent themselves and discover possibilities for a fulfilling future.
Okay.
I share that. Let me put it this way. I've shared that with multiple people. On one hand, I've gotten people who said, soften it. And on the other hand, I've had a few people look at me and go, oh, my God, that's me.
Uh-huh.
Right? There's like this, finally somebody is just saying what I've been dying to say. The PC version, which that first group, we'll call them the conservatives, are like, yeah, that speaks a little bit, you know, I still don't know if they didn't say that that's me. I help professional women who want to do something different in life or career, but aren't sure what, to reinvent themselves and discover possibilities for their next chapter.
I like that too. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, yeah. So.
Yeah.
I'm curious. Yeah. So you like both. What now?
Well, I'm thinking, you know, why do you have to choose? You know?
I don't know.
Yeah, in certain situations, the PC will be appropriate, and in certain situations, the other one will be appropriate.
Okay.
You know, so it could be the group that you're in. Some groups are a little
That's
bit more
true.
Formal, and you know that it won't land well. And certain
mm-hmm.
groups are, you know, maybe your friends or people know you a little bit better. Why, you know, I think you can use both.
Okay. All right, good. So that's why I made sure I have this great little Wonder Woman notebook that I've been using for this class. So both of them, I made sure they're top and bottom. That's my starting places I love the idea of customizing where they're used. And I'll be honest, for the first time in however many years I've been doing this, I really feel like it speaks to who I want to help, how I do it, et cetera, et cetera. So, yes,
yeah.
Biggest thing I'm taking away from this class is that.
Yeah, and I
no
think,
more
you know, right now,
I was going to say, no more chasing the money. Now it's, you know, sort of let speak and the people will start to come a little bit.
I think so.
I don't know.
Yeah. No, it's perfect. I mean, you're all about, you know, like possibility,
mm-hmm.
you know, having different options. So I think it's perfect that you have different options for your hub.
That's good.
Yay.
Yeah,
awesome.
All right, Denise, what do you think? Do you like what do you think about Anne-Marie's hub?
I do like both of them. I did notice that the first one really came out like effortlessly.
Yeah,
because that's truly you. So yeah, I think that when it comes out effortlessly, that it's. So maybe the only thing I can think of is. In the PC version, if you could maybe practice it, make it a little bit more smoother, like easy flowing, kind of like the first one, so it just comes out easily. And then just like Deborah said, use whichever one fits the audience.
That's good feedback. That's a great suggestion. Yeah, I clearly have practiced the first one far more. I think there's...
Yeah.
Well, and I have to say that irreverence does tend to flow because I have a huge smile on my face when I say it.
Uh-huh.
So,
oh, you can hear it, definitely.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, definitely audience dependent. You know, and it doesn't mean that you can't be yourself. It just means that it's important to meet people where they are.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm. Yeah. That's a
and
great,
there's,
yep.
And there's nothing wrong with that. So it doesn't mean you're not being yourself. It just means you're just being mindful.
That's a great point.
Yeah, you're just being mindful. That's all. Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Good job. All right, so now let's begin.
Yeah.
You did good. You both did really well. I'm very proud of you.
Today's
topic is how to create an effective and prosperous client attraction plan. So I'm going to throw out some thoughts, and then it'll be time for both of you to kind of walk through your plan. Doesn't have to be filled out. Doesn't have to be perfect. You know, this is the place to work things out. So to successfully attract coaching clients, you need a good plan. A plan that will attract and bring your ideal clients to you. A plan that is doable and one that you can work on consistently. A plan that brings you life, energy, and heightens your attractability to new clients. So when you feel good about it, there is this law of attraction and people come to you. The purpose of a client attraction plan is for you to clearly spell out what steps you will undertake when to reach out and obtain new clients. You want your client attraction plan to have the following elements. So I'm going to read some things to you. You know, what I'm about to go through, it's in the notes. Don't worry about it. If you don't capture every single sentence, you know, it'll come to you either later today or tomorrow. So what do you want your client attraction plan to have? Well, it has to have certain elements. So one element is be specific and targeted to your niche. The second is be something that can be done a little bit every day. I mean, that's the goal, a little bit over time versus, you know, 4 hours on a Saturday, you know, like slow and steady wins the race. Be fun for you, right? Look at that. We can actually have fun attracting clients, you know, and use your strengths. Be consistent and congruent with your message. Incorporate some high touch, some low touch, some internet approaches, you know, and keep you in front of and connecting with many people in your niche continuously. So you can see the certain words that I keep using, you know, a little bit every day, consistent, continuously, you know, over time, slow and steady, one thing every day, no matter what. That's how you do these things. It's very project-oriented, a client attraction plan. You know, here's a project, here's what I'm doing this week, and I'm going to break it into smaller steps. You know, one thing at a time. You really can only do one thing at a time. And I find with planning,
what happens is, you know, people aren't completing things because there's so many shoulds and I have to do this and, you know, and that they have 10 things that are open, you know, which completely just takes your power away. I mean, completely. And you're not completing things. You feel bad about yourself, you know, and that's not what you want as a coach. You want to feel good about yourself. You can help other people feel good about themselves. Okay, so there are keys to a great client attraction plan. I'm going to read some of them. Again, they're in the notes. So what are the keys? You know, one is to describe your niche, right? Get it on paper, computer, or your phone, whatever it is. Write it on your hand, whatever you need, so you can see it and look at it every day, right? And that's what we did in class number one, you know, who is your niche? Second was to describe your ideal clients. You know, again, get write it somewhere. You know, and that's what we did in class number two, which was your ideal client. Number three is to create your hub statement, right? That's what we did in the last class. Then you make a choice. You know, how do you want to reach your niche, right? And I break marketing into three components, writing, speaking, and networking. Writing, speaking, and networking. You know, writing is using the power of your written word to reach people. Speaking is using the power of your voice, right, either live or via teleclasses or webinars, whatever it is, but you're using the power of your voice to reach and connect to people. And then you have networking, and networking is the power of relationships. You're getting out there and meeting people, volunteering. You know, from networking, you're almost, you know, better off choosing one group that has your, really has your niche and your demographics and your core audience and immersing yourself in that group and volunteering and getting known than having 10 groups that maybe you go to every once in a while. So you decide, writing, speaking, or networking. Then you list the places where you can connect with your niche based on what you just chose. Right? So if I was going to do writing, well, where does my target audience, what do they read? If I'm going to do speaking, you know, where do they go to listen to someone speak? If you're going to go networking, you know, where do they go to hang out? Right? Once you have that, right, then you map out what you're going to do and when you're going to do it when, right? And that's really the client attraction plan, which is, you know, breaking it into small, consistent, congruent, continuous approaches. So you have something, you map it out, and then you don't really have to think about it anymore. You know, it doesn't mean you can't tweak and evaluate, but it's already there, it's already written out, and then you just do one thing at a time, right? And then you put your task, so once you have it mapped out, you put things in your calendar. I'm a big proponent of a calendar. You know, some people like a calendar. Some people don't like a calendar. I don't like to push my views on people, but I do like a calendar because it's written down, you know, and you don't have to really think about it. I know I'm going to do this when, and it's just there. And it keeps you going, keeps the momentum going. And then the last thing is, again, do a little bit every day, no matter what, because little things lead to big things over time. You know, and you're better off doing, you know, 15 minutes a day is like 2.5 hours at the end of the week versus waiting till like a Monday or a Saturday to do the 2.5 hours. The nice thing about doing a little bit every day is you keep the momentum going. You know, when you 15 minutes a day, you know, you're going, you're thinking, you're in the moment, things are channeling to you, the creativity is coming to you. You know, every other day or once a week or whatever it is, it's like this start, stop. You know, and I recognize that, you know, people have busy lives and you can't work on something every day. But I think that you can do one thing every day. I think you can send one email every day. I think you can, you know, make one phone call every day. You can, you know, map out one thing. You can do one thing a day. And that one thing a day really is what's going to make the bigger difference. So the overall arching, you know, goal point of a plan is strategy, planning, and then taking actions. That's really what you're doing. You have the big picture. What does it look like? Planning, what am I going to do when, you know, and then I take action. That's doing a little bit every day, no matter what. And, you know, the best way really to create this plan is to break it into small, bite-sized, manageable pieces. And that was the goal of the handout. You know, the handout is to really take a look and say, okay, what do I want to do over the next 90 days, right, which is 12 weeks, and just write it out. You know, here's what I'll do on week one, this is what I'll do on week two. Your goal is to under-promise and over-deliver. If you think you could make 5 phone calls, put down 3, so you beat that. And then you'll either do it or you won't do it. You know, there might be, you might have a bad day, you might have a bad week. It doesn't mean, it's not so you can feel bad about it, about yourself. It's so you have something to come back to keep you back on track. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to hear from you about your plan and, you know, what you think and what you put down so far. Anne-Marie, do you want to go first?
Sure. So let me back up. I'll be honest. I don't think I'm ready for a 90-day plan. I'm still working full time. I still intend to work full time for quite a while here. So I wanted to use this time to strategize a little bit. I think you mentioned that first step of what's the strategy. I want to stay here for a little while. I still want to do things, and I started those things. And I want to continue that for, let's call it, the next 90 days. The one thing I did start doing recently was posting weekly to LinkedIn. And what I'm doing with LinkedIn is telling my story of reinvention.
Okay, wait. I'm going to stop you because you said something really key. You said, I'm not ready for a 90-day plan, right?
Yeah.
So I just want to stop you for a moment and get a sense of what you are ready for so you can declare it, right? And then we can strategize, because right now we don't know what that looks like. We know what you don't want, but we don't know what you do want.
What I'm ready for is to define what I want my coaching practice to look like. So the first step was the niche, the ideal, the hub. The second step for me is where are the places that feel most authentic for me to tell my story, to tell the stories of others, and seeing a little bit of what's the result of that. The writing, speaking, those things of do I want to send a weekly email? I don't know. Some of those things feel very inconsistent with who I am. So I'm trying a few things that feel a little more consistent. And seeing, you know, again, first, how do they feel over a longer period of time than I've given them in the past? Like, you know, telling a story publicly on LinkedIn. And what am I getting as a result of that? Is it yielding some connections? Are people commenting on it? Or, you know, is it bringing people in? What are they saying when they come in? So I don't know if I explained that well. I really am just shaping what I want this coaching business to look like.
Good. Perfect. All right. So what I'm hearing is you're in testing mode right now.
Yes. Yeah. In the world of my lean innovation, I'm trying to get to my minimum viable prototype. right? So this is the key elements of a client attraction plan. Like, that's what I want to get out of this is, here's the two or three things that I will do consistently every single day, every single month, every single year. Here's what I offer as a result when people ask me to come and coach them, right? So I'm trying a few different things from a program standpoint. But it's to get to, I would say I'm in a personal discovery space.
All right. So you're in discovery testing at this point, right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So what do you want to test?
The first thing that I've been wanting to do for a long time is write. So I want to test write, and you know me, I'll take on 15 things and nothing will get done well. So I'm using your word. I'm focusing. I'm writing to LinkedIn, which is something I've just sort of had my eye on for a while, and I finally just said, I want to do it. That's one. I'm testing that.
Right.
And I'm testing telling my story of, again, reinvention and discovery. And the second one is I've had my eye on connecting within the Goodyear Women's Network, because I'm seeing them expand a little bit of what they're trying to do for the women within Goodyear, from being a better performer at Goodyear to being a more fulfilled whole person. I'm connecting with that vision a little bit more, and I'm putting myself in there to say, okay, how can I serve this group? And they are very receptive to it. You know, they want another mentor, another coach in there to help the younger employees, et cetera. So those are two areas where I'm really, really digging in now and focusing.
All right, so that sounds good. There's a lot of power and strength in what you're saying, right? There's
it
no
feels like it.
Yeah, it's like, you know, here's what feels right for me, and here's what I want to do. But the reason I stopped you was, you know, it's really important to declare it, you know,
mm-hmm.
like to really say it out loud and own it, because the actions get stronger as a result.
I'm writing that down because I know I felt in my head I knew what I was doing, but you're right. I don't think I ever really said this is discovery mode for me. Right. And here's the few areas where I'm actively just trying something, measuring, am I getting something out of it? And I'm trying to measure traction, really. Adoption,
yes.
If you will.
Yes. And you're living what you're going to help other people do.
It is. And it's funny because this is also what I do in my job for Goodyear. So why is it, as I say it out loud, why didn't I say it out loud before? This is exactly what I do.
Why didn't you say it out loud?
I don't know. I think I'm one of those people that unless somebody is asking me that question, I let it stay in my head sometimes too much.
Yeah.
You know, it feels very natural for me, but I didn't necessarily, you know, write it on that piece of paper. Sometimes it feels too natural that I don't take a minute when it's for myself. For somebody else, it's. God.
Yeah. So are you really starting to own this?
Yes. Yes. Unequivocally.
You know, because it's interesting, Anne-Marie, because you know I know you. You know I know
yep.
you. It's like you go back and forth, right? There are moments you own it. There are moments you doubt it. There are moments you own it. Moments you doubt it. It looks like the moments of owning are starting to win.
Mm-hmm.
Would you say that's accurate?
Yeah, and a lot of it, and this is part of what I want to offer to people that I've learned. I want to offer to people within the coaching world. The doubt isn't that I doubt what I'm doing; it's I doubt myself. I don't have that self-doubt anymore. That's been the biggest outcome of these 3 years of whatever it's been. And I really spent a few months looking at that transition from doubt to self-doubt. And first and foremost, owning that. And,
yep.
And what it brings. And I have put that to paper. I have really sat down. That's actually the first story I'm telling is the story of moving into this place of confidence and what it feels like and how it's happened. And I wish it for everybody. I don't wish the process, but the process is what it is. You know, we all have it. It's life. But it's where it's gotten me, it's beyond pride. It's, I do. I want to gift it forward. Not gift it, but I feel like everybody deserves to feel like this.
Yes.
Well,
that's how
and what is it? What's that?
That's how this works. We, you know, this is what coaching is all about, paying it forward.
Yeah. But for the first time, Deborah, I feel like I know what I'm paying forward. That's the part that I think I've doubted in the past. And maybe I hadn't had it yet. I don't doubt that now. I can, you knew me. If I can see it, I can be it. And I see it. I see it clearly. And when I talk to people about that, especially as I share the hub statement, that's the part that people are saying, yes, that's me. Yes, that's what I want. That's what's missing. That's what I'm willing to invest in. I want
good.
That. Not just because of the words I say, but a little bit of they know me and they've seen it in me. So that's part of why I want to tell the story first. I want people to really embrace the outcome, not just the process. Right? If you want to be this badass, this is But it's not badass, and you know, in the corporate setting, it's not because every to help you get to CTO or CEO. It's just to be able to be confident, to think about what's next, create what's next. That's what I love so much about Denise's Hub statement: to live creatively. Right? Be you. You do you. So.
Yeah, you do you, right? Yes.
That's it. I will say, and one of the things that's encouraging me is, and I think this is a direct result of putting this stuff on LinkedIn, a woman that was part of the women's leadership group, the first women's leadership group that I coached for the Chamber of Commerce 3 years ago, reached out and said, you know, hey, would you be willing to put together a proposal for a couple of sessions with our group here at Cincinnati Airport? It's a new group. We're looking to really build trust and confidence. Would you be willing to pitch something to our VP on what you do, how you do it, and how it will benefit our group? That happened yesterday.
That's amazing.
Wow.
Yeah. And I can't help but wonder if it's a result of a couple of just really, really genuine storytelling posts on LinkedIn. One, I think it makes you top of mind, right? So that's the being continuously present. But two, when somebody can look at it and say, that's really what I'm trying to get. And then here's somebody who, you know, isn't not just afraid to tell her story, but is afraid to do a couple of things differently with us. So I don't know if it'll turn in. I don't know if it'll translate. I know corporate, it always comes down to the money, but I'm going to, you know, it'll be about them. The pitch will be about them, and make them an offer that'll be difficult to refuse.
Yay. All right. So going back, so that was awesome what you said. So going back for a moment, today's topic is all about planning. So tell me how, you know, this will go into a plan, how you'll keep track of it, you know, what actions you'll do when.
Great question. And that's kind of what I'm in the middle of sketching out. So weekly, I'm holding myself to a weekly LinkedIn post. I use the time in between the posts to craft what I'm going to write. So what's the element of the story that I really want to put front and center? And then writing it, posting it, and I think this is also a big piece, the time in between the posts. People engage. They put a comment in. They ask a question. Really engaging those people one-on-one. The last post I did got about 8 responses, 10 responses, and going in and acknowledging or continuing the discussion. And the people who liked it, the post also can see those. Each post has been getting more and more. There's a little bit of a momentum that's building. And I'll be honest, that's a lot of work for me right now to plan, to write, or to plan what I'm going to write, to actually write it, and then to engage in the comments while also planning the next one.
Okay.
And then the other piece is now I'm sitting down with the Goodyear Women's Network, the women who lead the professional development group, and I think there's the advocacy group, so there's a couple of different, and sitting with them and saying, what role can I play? What service can I provide to each of their individual missions? That's just starting. So the first one comes from my free time. The second one happens during the workday. And I'll be honest, I think that's what I can do, focus on for the next 90 days with the time and the resources that I have.
Okay. So is it too much then?
No. No. If I, any more than that, I think would be too much.
Okay. Yeah, because the way you talk about it, you know, it's a lot. Like a couple times you said, you know, it's a lot. So, you know, is it too much?
No. No. Why I say it's a lot is because I guess I'm stressing why there's not 5 things I'm writing or 5 places I'm trying to write or, right? It's what I can do with the time that I have. It's it requires a lot, and I've carved out, I know I have the time for it, I've carved out the time for it, and that's what I'm going to focus on for a little bit.
Good. Good. I like it.
And the other, one of the pieces you mentioned is it is I by right sizing it like that, keeping it fun. Because when I do tend to overcommit and under deliver, so the opposite of what you said, it's not fun at all. So a little bit of this over promise, oh, sorry, under promise and over deliver. I want it to be fun, and it's sort of like working out, right? Just put just enough in, and I want to see if it can become something that's fun and builds momentum for myself. So
I love it. I hear power and strength. Denise, I'd like to give you an opportunity to comment. What do you think about what Anne-Marie is saying?
Well, one of the things that I absolutely loved was when she said that she was in discovery mode of herself and her business and where she wants to go from there. I feel that sometimes we tend to get a little lost, like, you know, after we graduated, you know, we have our certificate and we're official coaches now, but now what? You know, like, so where do we go? We did the assignments during classes, but now we're alone. So I like the fact that even though she might feel like where to now, she's taking the time to discover herself and what she wants out of this.
Thank you.
I think that was beautiful. Beautiful. What do you think about Anne-Marie? Wasn't that great?
It is. And it, again, I'm kind of sitting here like, why in the hell did I not articulate for this for myself? But it is precisely two things. It is exactly what I'm doing. And it's exactly what I'm telling or positioning to clients is the most important first step for themselves. There's a little bit of the why, but there's also the strategy, the vision of what I want it to be and what people can achieve for themselves in defining what they can be or have or do or feel, whatever it is that next chapter entails.
Good. All right.
Thank
and
you, Denise. I really appreciate that.
If you had a client that said to you, you know, well, why didn't I do this earlier? What would you say to them?
Two things. Often we don't know it's an option because we're sort of wired to do, and this idea of discovering possibilities is not really positioned as an option. So it's not top of mind for a lot of people. And because we're wired to do, and there's often tangible outcomes. It's harder to imagine what the tangible outcomes are until it becomes a need.
Yes.
So the biggest thing I would say is not let them sit in a place of beating themselves up.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We don't know.
In addition to what you just said, which was really cool, you just weren't ready.
Aren't ready, yes.
You weren't ready, that's all. You know, like clients say to you, I should have done this. They say, you know what, you're not ready. You have to respect the timing in life.
Mm-hmm.
You just weren't ready. Because if you,
you know,
were ready,
to your point.
Yeah.
That's a great point. To your point, that's why I want to leave that reinvent themselves in the hub statement.
Yep.
Because there is a reinvention, a reset, that people sort of discover a little bit and then connect with me.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
Maybe you can use the word reboot also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point.
All right.
Reboot.
Anne-Marie, you did good.
Awesome. Thank you. This feels good. I was kind of blah, blah, blah to my mom earlier as we drove home from Weight Watchers, Deborah. And she just had this giant smile. She just had this giant smile on her face. Like, yeah, she even connected with it a little bit. She goes, God, there's so many women out there who should know that there's so much more in life for them. I'm like, I know, Mom. I know.
That's funny. Yes, Mom. I know, Mom.
Right, yeah. She's one of them. What's funny is what she's really saying is she is one of them. you know, and she's a little ahead of her time with the, with her, but yeah, she got it. She really got it.
That's so cool. I love it. All right. All right. So, you know what?
Thank you.
That was awesome. All right. So, Denise, let's segue over to you. You know, talk to us about what's going on with your plan, and then we will take it from there.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, like we were talking about perfect timing and things happen when they need to happen. I actually resigned from my job a lot earlier than I needed to. My contract would have ended in June, and while some people were telling me, stay until your contract ends, you know, don't leave before that. But the stress was just overwhelming to the point where I was getting physically sick. Just, I didn't want to be there anymore. I didn't want to deal with certain people anymore. So I said, you know what? I'm just going to do it now. And I'm a summer person, so I figured if I do it now and focus on this now, by the time the weather breaks and I'm able to really get out and do things, I'll be ahead of the game rather than waiting for my contract to end, deal with all this headache, and, well, yeah, I'm not going to really have any money right now, so that's going to be an issue. You just need to know when it's time. And for me, it was just time to do it now. Just get out before I get sicker, and then I'm not going to be able to do it. So, you know, kind of knowing yourself and when to really break free of whatever's holding you back and just go ahead and do it. And if you fall, get up and just learn along the way. So that's kind of where I'm at right now. So this 90-day plan. Go ahead.
No, keep going. I love it. Keep going.
So this 90-day plan, I also kind of want to tweak it a little bit to more of maybe a little less than 90 days, because I think that now that I'll have a little bit more time, I'll be able to conquer a few more things. Maybe instead of 15 minutes a day, I can maybe do, you know, 30 minutes a day or an hour a day, you know, to focus a little bit more. I just kind of wish that it was more of an example for life coaching or coaching, more so than the example that they use. It's a little hard for me to switch it to what I'm doing based on the example that they gave, but I'm trying.
Okay. Denise, so it's perfect for you because, you know what, you like to have everything perfect. So it's actually perfect that it's not geared exactly to that because, you know, now you have to step out of your comfort zone.
Right. Yeah, definitely.
Right? So it's perfect because otherwise,
absolutely.
You know, all I can do is, oh, I could copy it. Oh, it's perfect. Oh, it matches what's on the client attraction plan.
Right, right. Most definitely.
The universe knows what it's doing.
Oh, yes. It definitely is there telling me, you need to work this. And I will find a way. I know that, throughout the time that we've been together, you've actually given me a lot of confidence in knowing that, yeah, I can tweak this. I can do this. I can figure it out to work with my people.
Yes. You know what? You are a figure-it-out person. This is what happens. You have stuff that's thrown at you, and then you figure it out. You have stuff that's thrown at you, and then you figure it out. So it's time to really own that and have confidence, you know, that you'll figure it out. And what you want to do with your coaching is you want to help other people figure it out. So you couldn't really do that. You really couldn't do that the way you wanted to unless you had it already internally.
Yeah. This is true. I always jump in and then figure it out later on.
Yeah, pretty much. So this is one of these things. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, when I bought my van, the very first time that I got the estate to pay for my equipment, they told me, well, do you have a van? No, well, you need to buy a van. I had no money to buy a van, but I went to a dealer, put a dollar down deposit to get a van, gave them the receipt. I'm like, here, I have a van. They didn't have the van, and I figured, well, by the time that they give me the equipment, I'll get the money to get the van. So that's how I kind of just jump into things and figure it out later.
Pretty much. Yeah, that's who you are.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So thank you. Thank you for being open to what I just said. So, thanks. All right. So go ahead.
Continue, please.
So one of the things that, again, I hibernate during the winter because winters are really difficult for me. I have, like, a metal rod in my spine, so I'm waiting for the weather to break so I can figure out what I'm going to do out there. But in the meantime, I would like to really try to network online. Like, on my Facebook page, I have over 700 people that I want to try and reach out to them. So I was thinking, and I would love your opinion,
okay,
from both of you, if I put my, like, tweak the warm letter so that it's more like a warm Facebook post, what do you guys think about that? Because I don't really have, like, all these email addresses where I can send emails to people.
All right, so say more about that. What are you thinking about doing?
So if I was thinking that rather than sending out emails to people, because I only have very few email lists, maybe I can just put a post on Facebook letting people what I know. So basically the warm letter, but in a Facebook post form so that people can know what I do and, you know, what my goals are and how I can help them, that kind of thing.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to comment first. You know, the nice thing about social media is, you can do many, many posts, right? So your first post can be this warm letter, right?
Uh-huh.
And then from there, you're all about helping people with disabilities, you know, and their caretakers, you know, to really be empowered. All of your posts going forward are around that, helping people with disabilities, helping people with their caretakers, you know, become empowered. And that's it. And that post can be something that comes from you. It could be a picture that you saw. It could be a quote that you saw. It could be a link to another, to an article, something you saw online, where you really, truly become the resource for empowerment to this group. So what do you think about that?
Right. Well, in my Facebook group, I actually created a page separate from my paid page. And I haven't invited people yet, because I wanted to have a few more posts on there, you know, create more content, and then send people over to my page. So, yeah, I do have that in mind, and I've been doing a little bit so far. Now I'll be able to do more, of course, because I have more free time. But again, like, because I don't have enough email contacts, do you feel that it would be appropriate for me to kind of just run with my social media?
Yes, of course. I mean, why not? You know what? I mean, I think it's a perfect way to start, you know, and that you are inviting people to something specific, which is to learn and get empowered.
Right.
So you really become the resource. You become the portal. You become the expert, you know, and to not let the word expert, because I know you hear expert, you're like, me? But yeah, why not you? Why can't you be the expert in this area that you really, truly know so well? And that social media becomes that portal for you at this particular moment until you build it.
Exactly. Right. And so I can get out and network in person.
Yes.
Now, I also belong to a lot of groups, a lot of disability-focused groups, but they don't really let you advertise or anything like that. So I'm trying to figure out a way how I can approach them without it seeming like I'm being any kind of way salesy.
So then don't sell to them. Just be helpful. Just be a resource. If you see a post, you can comment. If you see some kind of resource or something that would be helpful to the people in the group, then post it. You're all about being helpful.
Right.
And sharing, because that's what you're doing on social media. You're sharing stuff.
Right, right. Okay.
If they want to know who you are, they can click on your profile.
Exactly. And then they can see my, okay, gotcha. That's a great idea. Thank you.
Yeah, the one thing in addition to that is, you know, sometimes when you join a group, they'll ask you to introduce yourself, and then you can have a link to something. But otherwise, your goal is to be helpful.
Right. Right. And then, you know, I do like the idea of connecting with, what was it? It says to connect with like 20 people a week or something like that. But again, aside from my social media, I wouldn't know where else to connect.
Okay.
Well, except for colleges.
Well, no, you said you were going to do some in-person stuff. So where are you going to do that?
Well, that's where I'm still stuck. I don't know really where I can go for that. But one of the places that I did want to approach were colleges and universities, like the Disabled Student Services Department. Maybe I can reach out to them and write them a letter and send it to, I guess, their contact. You know, letting them know what I do, who I am, what I do, and how I can be of service to their current students and their alumni.
Perfect. Right. So step one is send a letter. Step two is to contact them after you send a letter.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, make it project-based. Start with social media. Identifying some groups, you can immerse yourself in social media. I mean, it doesn't mean you can't do the outside stuff. Just, you know, the goal is to, you know, master list, make the list, prioritize the list, do one thing at a time. Because every one of these ideas are great.
Mm-hmm. And I guess my biggest,
yeah.
Exactly. I guess my biggest obstacle or challenge is when the money question comes in, when they finally say, is there a fee for this? You know, I know that a lot of times people say, well, you need to speak for free. You need to, when you're starting off, everything needs to be for free. But now I really have no other source of income other than, well, you know, so I can't really do free all the time. And if I do approach the colleges, you know, they do have the money to pay me. But I know that they're going to be, oh, well, we don't want to have the funds right now. It's not within our scope right now.
Yeah, free is not colleges. Free is like a chamber, a rotary, a women's group.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's
and then,
free
you know,
stuff.
One of the things that I've noticed throughout my years, even working at the facility that I worked for before, whenever they want a disabled person to speak on their life, on their challenges, and how they overcame, they always wanted to be free. Like, they'll pay other people, but they want the disabled individual to come and do it for free.
Okay. Well, just because they want it doesn't mean you'll do it.
Right.
I mean, you know, they could ask that they not pay you, and you can ask to be paid.
Right. Right. Okay. So I'm going to do Facebook one first. I've done LinkedIn. I changed my profile from a personal profile to my sort of business entity now. I have my hub statement on my cover photo, and everything is up there, so they kind of know what I do now. And a few people have congratulated me, but no one's really have asked in detail, or can I have a sample? I put on there, you know, contact me for a free discovery session, but no one yet. But I'll keep building on that. Plus, Emery a really great idea.
Yeah, your goal is to start becoming a resource.
Right.
You know, contact me. Yeah, it's nice. I guess I'll contact you, but, you know, like, why am I contacting you?
Right.
Like, to really own that hub and, you know, introduce yourself as that hub and put that hub out into the world.
Right. Okay. So I'm going to start with my Facebook post. And then I'm going to try and send out my warm letter to some organizations, figure out which other organizations cater to people with disability. Like, I was thinking about the VA, you know, people who maybe just became disabled and they need to figure out what to do now, or their loved ones who may not know how to care for them now or what to do now. might over care for them rather than letting them try to do things on their own.
Okay.
I think that's where I'm at.
Okay. All right. I'm going to turn it over to Anne-Marie because I'm interested. Anne-Marie, we're interested in your thoughts. What are you hearing and what do you think?
So I have mixed feelings about Facebook, but that is a purely personal. I think if your target, you know, your niche is in your Facebook group, then go for it. What I've found, and again, this might be more of a personal behavior. I don't post to Facebook anymore, but I sort of troll just to make sure I'm not missing any any major life events that I, you know, you need to reach out to somebody about. So in that first, like, one line or two lines, really make sure that if it's part of your warm letter and ultimately you want people to go to your business page, do something that draws them in and gets them to stop at your post a little bit longer than somebody might have otherwise. You know, so, and you might have to either post the same thing or post a few different times and invite people to your page rather than just sort of doing a lead up and doing it once. You might have to do that a few times because of, one, how Facebook filters and only shows a portion of your audience at a time, and people might need to see things a couple of times, and they might need to be encouraged in a couple of ways to go over and like your page. That's one. One thought. The other thought is, you mentioned you're part of a lot of groups, and those groups don't like to. I'm the same way. I have, you know, they don't want you to advertise your business. Well, maybe form your own group. You know, so you have a page for your business, but maybe you have a group that where you bring people in and have different people who are both intrigued by you and your story and want to hear more about it, but you can't really do as much of that on a business Facebook page, but you can do that in your own group. You know, and build your own tribe, as the group
yes.
page people would say. And maybe that's about getting people to come in and really tell their stories and talk about their needs, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And whether it's your Facebook page, your personal page, or a group page, use that as your own little personal piece of research, too.
Mm-hmm.
Find out where those people are physically going and get more ideas for who to go to speak, you know, beyond the ones that you listed. Right. So mm-hmm. not only can you use those areas to tell your story, but ask questions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you can ask it in a way that doesn't feel like you're soliciting. Like, hey, you know, where did you go this week where you were inspired, where you learned
right.
something new, where you got a piece of advice, et cetera? And you can start to see, well, where is your target hanging out, getting ideas like that.
Love that. I love it too.
The one piece of social media that I really have been falling in love with lately is Instagram. Because it's actually less, I'll just say it, it's less bullshit commentary and more visual. So
right.
maybe that's where you post pictures of you
right.
living creatively and feeling empowered. And
awesome.
in the bio section of, and you can advertise as much as you want, in the bio section of your Instagram, people can click into your business page on Facebook, or they can click into your website, or, but it's so, I love it because it's just so visual. And,
uh-huh.
right, a picture tells is worth 1,000 words.
Right. Love that.
That's what actually I've been doing now that you mentioned that. I have had a couple of, like, motivational quotes where I put, like, a picture in the background, have, like, a little quote, and then I have my, of course, only if I've created the quote completely, then I have my business logo right underneath the quote. So maybe I can just
yep.
post those on Instagram.
And as people are sharing them, they're sharing your business logo too, right? As they as they reshare or, but yeah, there's something, but it just depends on if that's where your niche is, you know, and how to go after it. The other thing about social media too is you're not limited to just one, right? You can have a couple of different Instagram feeds and you can have a couple of different Facebook. It's all about if that's what you physically can do right now in my head, then make the most of it and build. I'm sitting here talking to myself into creating my own either Facebook or LinkedIn group to build the tribe.
Yeah, that's a great idea. I never really thought about how, because I have the Facebook page, my business page, and then I was thinking, well, why would I do a group? But now that you mention it, the group could be its own little space for people to speak freely and, right.
You know, and whether you want it to be public or you want it to be public, but they have to request access and, you know, you can set up a vibe. You can set up an atmosphere that, again, speaks directly to living creatively and feeling empowered. You know, do you use it to create a weekly challenge? What is it that would really inspire you? Again, I'm sitting here talking myself into, this sounds really interesting. I've had a bad experience, personal, not business related, but personal experience with Facebook that, you know, I just have knee-jerked over the last year or so, but maybe there's a space to get back into it that, but do it differently. For me,
right.
So thank you for the ability to comment here because you're getting my wheels turning too.
This is good. That's why I love these classes. I love these being able to connect with one another and get each other's feedback.
It makes such a difference, doesn't it?
It does.
And you know, Anne-Marie used the word tribe a few times, and I love that word. You know, and you know how you build a tribe is you take the focus off yourself. And you put the focus on them. You know, your tribe is your peeps. Like, who's my peeps? My people, my peeps. So you say to yourself, you know, what do my peeps want? What do they want? What's their struggles? You know, what would be helpful for them? So you're just coming from a place of just really, truly being helpful.
Right.
Like from an authentic place. You know, and that's really what takes off. But it takes off because it's a part of you.
Right.
You know, it doesn't mean you can't advertise, I'm doing a seminar, I'm doing this, but that's not the focus of it.
Right. Yeah, those are great ideas. I love that. And it'll give them a safe space for them to open up and speak freely. And then, you know, maybe I can give them, you know, if they have a question or they have an issue, I can try and help them that way. So I'm kind of coaching them for free in that space, and they feel like they're getting value rather than hiring me right off the bat.
That's right. All right. Yep. Also, just a little observation. You use the word try all the time. I'm going to try to do Facebook. I'm going to try LinkedIn. I'm going to try to send a letter. Please take that word out of your vocabulary.
I'm going to do.
I will.
I will. I'm going to. I will. Yes. Thank you.
Yeah, try keeps you on the sidelines. You know, try means, well, if it doesn't work, it didn't matter because I wasn't really fully engaged. I was just trying.
It's the Yoda. right? No, there's no try. Just do.
Exactly.
All right, ladies. This is so awesome, but I have to wrap up. But I love it. Wasn't it great? Two people makes a difference. There's a lot of one-on-one when there's two people, right?
Yeah. Thank you, both of you. This has just been fantastic, not just today, but the whole 4 weeks. So both of you have been so energizing for me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for sharing with us and helping us see things in a different light, too.
Yay.
You're welcome.
We have phone hug.
Yes.
Yay.
Phone hug.
Oh, that's funny.
All right, so let's wrap up. So this is it, right? Our work is complete, right? In this program, we spoke about your niche, your ideal clients, your hub statement, and how to attract clients. You are ready to go out there and attract clients. Before I go, I want to go around the room and just hear what you guys got out of this. But first, I have two upcoming classes. Amory, I think you took these classes. Next week, and I'll send this as part of the notes, I have a 2-week career coaching, you know, how to become a career coach overview program. And then after that is a mastery program. It's a mastery certification program where you can go and get certified on how to do career coaching. So I will send that link out. But I just want to let you know, because sometimes I teach a class and then someone says, what else are you teaching? So I'll put that in with the notes. All right. So, So before we end session 4, I'd like to hear from you. What did you get from today's class or program as a whole? So, Amory, what are you walking away with?
So I mentioned earlier the hub statement and the niche that's within that hub statement is really like my big aha, big takeaway. But really, really, for the 4 weeks that we've done this, what it has enabled or pushed for me is focus. Like, just really focus on the task at hand, be present with it, own it, drive it to completion. And I often need a little bit of external nudge to remind myself to focus. And that's been the biggest thing I've gotten.
Yay! Love it. Thank you very much for taking this program. All right. Denise,
thank you.
What are you walking away with? Yeah, you're welcome. Really, it was a pleasure.
Yeah.
Love you, Amory. Okay.
Love you too.
Denise, go ahead.
I am rolling away with more focus. I love the fact that you guys have helped me to tweak my hug, to really own it and to put it out there. I love the fact that, you know, while we were focusing, there's a lot of accountability with being together. You don't feel like you're just doing it on your own. You have someone to kind of bounce ideas off of, which you guys have given me some fantastic ideas. I can't wait to put them to practice. It's really a lot of encouraging accountability and focus. So thank you, thank you.
You're welcome, welcome. You work very hard in this
class. Awesome.
You both worked very hard in this class. You did.
But it was fun. It really was fun work.
Yes.
I love it. Fun. Who has fun? No one else
woo-hoo!
Has fun. What?
Lots of fun.
All right, ladies. So this is Deborah Brown Volker from CTA's Niche to Be Rich. Thank you for taking this program with me. And I wish you all the best and good luck to you in the future. So take care, everyone.
You too. Thank
you.
I
will miss you.
Same here. We will miss
Same
you,
here,
Deborah.
Too.
Yay. So keep me posted, okay?
We'll do.
We will. I will.
We'll do.
All right.
Cheers.
Have a good day, everyone. Okay.
You too. You too.
Bye.
Stay in touch, guys. Stay in touch.
We'll do. We'll do. You too, Mike.
Okay.
Yeah,
bye.
Definitely.
Bye.
Bye.